Public school closures are looming in Seattle, in large part because of an ongoing drop in students. At the same time, private school enrollment is on the upswing. We wanted to know, how much are these two enrollment trends connected? KUOW education reporter Sammy West looked into it and talked with some families about why they left public school.
Katie Belsada is picking up her daughter from Green Lake Elementary.
Oh, there's the bell.
It's a rare occurrence. Their house is so close, the second grader can easily get home by herself.
How long does it take you to get to school?
A minute. A minute or two.
She jumps on the tree swing in her front yard, where she can watch the comings and goings outside her school. She says she likes her teacher and school, except when kids get rowdy in class.
People shout out, they get out of their seat, they talk to other friends, they fight.
The proximity to their neighborhood public school was one of the main reasons Belsada and her husband bought the house 4 years ago.
Since we have three kids, there's like a good stretch of time, like 10 years, I think we calculated, where we'll have at least one student at that school. And so it made it really convenient for them to walk to school and walk home and just be really close.
But it didn't turn out like they'd hoped. Their oldest son had a few rough years in school. Belsada had increasing concerns with academic rigor and classroom resources, or the lack thereof. But the final straw was when he started getting bullied, and they were disappointed with how the school handled it.
Eventually, we had to decide, like, you know, are we going to let our son continue to have these depressive episodes and not feel safe going to school? Like, every night before school, he would be in tears thinking about having to go to school the next day, and it was pretty miserable.
Belsada and her husband decided to enroll him in a private school that's about a 10-minute drive away. Next year, their daughter will join him there, and eventually, their 4-year-old son will go there too. Belsada never expected to make that choice. Even before having kids, she says they decided to send them to public schools because they believe in their mission so wholeheartedly.
It's a difficult exercise to go through to, like, examine your values and to decide that you're going to pivot and change course. But then when it came down to, like, safety issues, that's going to, like, our child's safety is going to trump everything. We will do anything to keep our kids safe.
Other parents told me they left for similar reasons, or because they were unsatisfied with programs for students with disabilities or advanced learners. Across the nation and state, enrollment in public schools is plummeting. Part of the reason is that birth rates are hitting record lows. But also, parents are continuing to rethink school options in the aftermath of the pandemic. Thomas Stee is an economist and professor at Stanford University.
The COVID-19 pandemic caused an historically unprecedented exodus of students from public schools.
His research, in collaboration with the Associated Press, looked at private school enrollment across Washington and found a spike of 17,000 students over the last 4 years. That's a 26% increase. Homeschooling also jumped by about 9,000 students.
These shifts to non-public schools, both private schools and homeschooling, were not only large, they sustained, even as school returned to some semblance of normal operations.
So how much are those shifts contributing to Seattle Public Schools' declining enrollment and the budget crisis that comes with it? The answer is not so cut and dry, Dee says.
I think part of the story of the pandemic is how it's exposed the inadequacies of the data systems we have to ask fundamental questions like those.
In Seattle, public schools have lost nearly 5,000 students over the last 5 years. That's a 9% decrease. It's hard to say what exactly is driving that trend. But Marnie Campbell, the district's director of operations, says Seattle's lack of affordable housing and high cost of living appears to have pushed some families out.
Families have discovered that, you know, it's very expensive to live in the city, or maybe people don't like living in the city. Many people can live and work in more remote places, especially post-pandemic. A lot of people that just changed a lot of mindsets and ideas about how we want to live and what's possible.
Some families have also shifted to home or private schooling. Seattle has always had a higher share of students attending private schools compared to other cities. And although there was a private school bump during the pandemic, enrollment has stayed relatively steady over the years. U.S. Census data shows that, as of 2022, about 1 in 6 Seattle kids attend private schools. SPS is now trying to get a better idea of why students leave the district. This spring, they added an exit survey when a family withdraws from a local school. In the meantime, district officials continue to adjust to an ongoing drop in enrollment and revenue and are looking to close up to 20 elementary schools. It's a deeply controversial move, but Campbell says having a smaller number of schools will allow them to more effectively and equitably distribute resources.
You see some of our beautiful new buildings. They're safer, they're cleaner, they're healthier, they're built to modern, you know, standards. They have multiple teachers per grade level so that they're collaborating and they're able to provide, you know, support to each other professionally.
District leaders have long pointed to underfunding from the state as another reason they need to make changes. At her home in Green Lake, Belsada says she hopes SPS can figure out a good way forward that meets students' needs.
It's simply a fact that the schools are under-resourced and they don't have the resources that they need to provide the support that these kids need.
For her family, it's too late. Belsada's son is doing a lot better this year at his new school, and her daughter's excited to start there in the fall. She's already charmed by the school's unofficial mascot.
It has this dog. It's this dog that is the principal's dog, and he wanders around the school all the time, and his name's Ollie.
Belsada says it's hard to close this chapter on public school for her kids. She was on the PTA, and they all made friends there. They feel invested in their community. And that won't change just because they switched schools. Sammy West, KUOW News.
It could be a turbulent school year for Seattle Public School students and their families. They're all bracing for likely school closures by next fall. And the district has been down this road before. KUOW Sammy West has more on what happened back then and what we can learn from that.
As Joy Anderson walks around her daughter's old elementary school, memories from her kindergarten year come flooding back.
I remember coming and seeing her hanging off the monkey bars with all her friends, and all her friends were super diverse. And, you know, I used to just come and, like, hang out, pick her up. The kids knew me, and the teacher liked me, and it was fine.
That was back in 2008 at Cooper Elementary in West Seattle, the last year before it shut down. It was one of 11 schools to close in a two-year period. Anderson's daughter, Olivia Wilkinson, only got that 1 year in that neighborhood school. Now 21 years old, Wilkinson says she still feels kind of bitter about it.
Well, they robbed me of having a normal elementary school experience. They robbed me of the memories I would have had here.
The closure set Wilkinson off course. She bounced around numerous public and private schools and only just recently was diagnosed with dyslexia. Nearly 15 years after the last closures, Seattle Public Schools finds itself in a similar position. Enrollment has declined about 9% over the last 5 years, and the district is in a budget crisis. Officials have proposed shuttering 20 elementary schools for the next school year. Parents and activists have fiercely pushed back and already threatened lawsuits if the closures go ahead. Joy Anderson worries about history repeating itself.
I think it's going to cast a huge negative cloud over the entire city. People will be fighting with their neighbors. I mean, it's going to be bad.
Anderson felt it firsthand in her own fight to keep her daughter's school open. Other parents, students, and former school board members who were around back then tell me they're also concerned. They recall fiery meetings that devolved into shouting and sometimes even fist fights. A superintendent resigned, school board members faced recall efforts, the mayor threatened to step in. But then, not long after schools closed, enrollment rebounded. Kay Smith Blum was on the school board at that time. She says district enrollment projections had underestimated the birth rate as more families moved in. And hundreds of kindergartners they hadn't expected showed up.
Sure enough. And we didn't have seats for them. I mean, kids were literally hanging from the rafters.
Well, not literally. Still, the district scrambled, spending millions of dollars to reopen schools they had just shut down.
You can imagine how expensive that was, how frustrating it was for us as a board, but for teachers and principals and families, it was outrageous.
Smith Blum says she's worried the district is again relying on faulty data to make such pivotal decisions. Marnie Campbell is the district's point person for the closure plan. She says the district is confident in its data.
We've been very mindful. We've consulted with two external agencies to check our numbers, our projection numbers, to make sure that we're doing this in a way that really, hopefully, recognizing the absolute challenge of the now, but also is building more toward that future.
But Campbell also acknowledged that these projections aren't an exact science and can shift. Lisa Escobar was part of that shifting terrain the last time around, as principal of Viewlands Elementary when it reopened in 2011, 4 years after it closed. And even then, emotions were still raw.
I realized at that point how much the school meant to the community and how much they grieved when it closed.
Escobar says rebuilding trust was hard, and she looked for specific ways to knit the school community back together, to both honor the past and also build new traditions. She hired a teacher whose own children were affected by the closure to help shape the school's vision. And as for something new, one piece came in the shape of a rain garden.
Gardens that represented each culture, so that we could not only honor what was there, but also invite the new cultures that had joined the community.
This time around, the district plans a similar approach and says they're creating transition teams to help families work through the upheaval. Sammy West, KUOW News.
Big news in schooling today. Seattle Public Schools families now know which elementary schools will likely be on the chopping block in 2025. Sammy West reports.
Seattle Public Schools leaders have unveiled preliminary proposals to deal with an ongoing budget crisis. One plan would close 21 schools and eliminate option and K-8 schools to save a total of $31.5 million. Another would shutter 17 schools, saving the district $26 million. The district also laid out an alternative to scale the closures to anywhere from 0 to 25 schools. None of these proposals are final. Officials are expected to bring one final closure plan to the school board next month, with a final vote sometime before winter break. Sammy West, KUOW News.
Now our feature story today. Some students were dropped off this morning at schools that could close next year. Seattle Public Schools has finally released its list of potential closures to help the district fix a $100 million budget gap. Education reporter Sammy West has been following this story, and she spoke today with KUOW's Angela King. Here they are.
So this is the news lots of families had been dreading. Walk us through what we know. Apparently, the district has laid out two different school closure plans, correct?
Yes, two more detailed options. And, you know, overall, both plans spread cuts across the city. 16 of the schools are on both lists. But the two options have some critical differences. Option A, or I think they call it the well-resourced schools plan, closes 21 schools, including most of the district's K-8 schools and option schools. Those are schools with specialized programming that you have to apply to get into. So that plan saves about $31.5 million. Option B closes 17 schools, and it keeps a K-8 school open in each region. It saves nearly $26 million. So to make up for that difference, the district would have to find $6 to $7 million of more cuts to make. The district also leaves open the possibility for needing to consolidate middle schools in the next 10 years. Wow. So it's less savings and more possibility for future changes.
That's just more on top of what folks are already dealing with. So remind us of how Seattle Public Schools wound up in this position in the first place.
Yeah, it's been kind of a long time coming. You know, the district has been in an ongoing budget crisis for the last several years. Enrollment has been declining since the pandemic, declined by about 9% over the last 5 years, which is a pretty remarkable amount. And it just kind of shows that families are thinking about schools in different ways since learning went online, and that didn't go well for everyone. So some families decided to leave. Also, just the birth rate is lower in Seattle, and some people have moved out because they can work remotely. Regardless, you know, the district is just in a position where they say they need to consolidate. They have too many schools for too few kids. Right now, 29 of the district's 104 school buildings have fewer than 300 students. Mm-hmm. And they say that's just not efficient. And what that looks like, the district currently can't afford to provide each school with its own, you know, nurse, counselor, librarian. They might be shared across several schools. And so they say if they consolidate, each of those schools can have their own staff members in those areas.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that these plans could cut between $25 and $30 million from the district's projected nearly $100 million budget deficit. So what are some other ways they could make up the difference?
Well, the elephant in the room is that they probably are going to have to downsize staffing. It might mean layoffs. And they lay out that possibility, you know, if they don't close any schools, if they go with that option B to close 17 schools, they say those layoffs might be happening. But I think regardless, that's a very real possibility. You know, you talk to school finance experts and they say closing schools doesn't really save that much money unless you cut the staffing as well. That's the biggest expense that school districts have.
So what's next?
So none of these proposals are final. The district and the board could scale this plan. There was an option to scale the plan from closing zero schools all the way to 25 schools. So we really don't know if these two major options they presented, if either of them will be the final proposal. But we expect that next month. And there are going to be some more community meetings, get the word out about what it means for families. And then the board is expected to vote on the final plan before winter break, so that families know what to expect.
KUOW education reporter Sammy West talking with Morning Edition host Angela King. Hundreds of parents flooded the Seattle School Board meeting last night to speak out against proposed school closures. As KUOW's Sammy West reports, it comes a week after the district named up to 21 elementary and K-8 schools that could shutter next year to close a massive budget gap.
Over 300 parents and activists gathered outside before the meeting. They wore red, carried signs, and chanted,
"Save our schools! Save our schools!"
Inside, a parade of parents and students delivered emotional appeals. Mayla Erickson is the parent of two students at Tops K-8. The school serves deaf and hard of hearing students and is slated for closure.
For many of these students, TOPS is the only place where they have access to multiple adults and peers who sign. Imagine not being able to communicate with anyone in your community almost everywhere you go. That is my daughter's experience of the world.
Officials have said closures would improve special education services, and they'll continue to collect feedback during community meetings starting next week. Sammy West, KUOW News.
And in Seattle Public School News, Seattle school board members are pressing district officials for answers on their new proposals to close up to 21 schools. Sammy West reports.
Wednesday's school board meeting was filled with fireworks as members voiced their frustrations with the district's proposals and said they doubt they can pull off so many closures in such a short time. Vice President Michelle Sarju says she believes some schools need to close, but the timeline feels rushed.
We're in September. I'm not confident we can get this done. I feel like I'm being backed in a corner to vote yes or vote no. And I'm taking a stand right here. I'm not doing either.
Board member Evan Briggs says the plan leaves too many questions unanswered, like how they'll continue specialized programs that could be dismantled.
I feel that it's really unfair for us to ask families to get on board with this when we have provided no meat to this. It's literally a skeleton.
Board members also suggested officials come back to them with a less disruptive plan that closes fewer schools, but it's unclear if they will. The district will continue to collect feedback at community meetings starting next week. Sammy West, KUOW News.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Seattle Public Schools leadership is taking a minute to think. Earlier this month, the district released plans to potentially close almost 24 elementary schools to shore up a budget gap. Unsurprisingly, many parents were not thrilled about the idea. Hundreds packed a school board meeting demanding the district reconsider, and now Superintendent Brent Jones says he is pausing further meetings about the closures. Here to explain what led to this moment and what it could mean for the future of Seattle Public Schools is KUOW education reporter Sammy West. Sammy, you're pulling double duty on this episode. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Always happy to be on.
So let's start with the latest. Seattle Schools was gonna close elementaries and now they're pressing pause? I mean, what did Superintendent Jones say about why they're taking a beat?
Well, he sent a letter to families yesterday saying they needed to take some time to reflect on the plans. And this comes at kind of a crazy time because the district was about to start community meetings this week to talk more about the plans. And now those are on hold and they're already working under a pretty tight timeline. So he's pressing pause to kind of reconsider after all of the community feedback they've gotten. I think he also does make it pretty clear that closures are still necessary. They're still in a bind financially. But it also sounds like, you know, they're pausing to consider maybe they don't want to close this amount of schools. Maybe it'll be a lower number, or maybe they'll take more of a scaled approach, you know, close, you know, up to 21 schools, but maybe over several years. There's a lot we don't know at this point.
And we got that plan about what schools they were potentially proposing to close earlier this month. Can you just remind people what was on the table?
Yeah. So there were two major options. Option A would shutter 21 schools and eliminate all option and K-8 schools. And that would save the district about $31.5 million. The other plan, option B, would close 17 schools and it would save about $25.5 million. And it would leave one K-8 school open in each region of the city. And if they moved forward with that, it would save about $25.5 million, and the district would still have to find another $6 to $7 million of cuts.
Hmm. So Seattle Public Schools is saying they need to close these schools to cut costs, reducing the overhead, consolidating resources in fewer buildings would help them do that, they say. How have parents and teachers responded so far when the plans, the proposals were introduced and now that it's being paused? I mean, it seems like a lot of confusion.
Yeah, I mean, as expected, to some degree, the pushback and outcry has been quick and loud from families. Like you said before, hundreds of them flooded the school board meeting last week to make their opposition clear to these plans. But I think what was a little more surprising was that the school board was pretty critical of these plans, especially in their current forms, you know, and a lot of them questioned whether it's feasible to close this amount of schools in such a short time. I mean, we're already almost done with September, which is crazy. And, you know, the board had been under the timeline they'd been working under. They were supposed to be done with all of these decisions by winter break. And that's coming up quick.
Yeah. So we had parents, which I think was expected, saying, hey, what's going to happen to my local school, you know, pushing back against these plans. But the school board asking pointed questions last week, that seems to have been, from an outside perspective, the tipping point for the superintendent here, who is now saying, we're going to wait a beat and think about this. So, Sammy, what happens next? I mean, there's still a $104 million budget shortfall facing Seattle Public Schools. If Superintendent Jones decides not to move forward with all these closures, what does that mean for the funding picture?
We're kind of in flux. I mean, district officials have been warning for months, I mean, over a year, that if school closures don't happen, there are going to be some serious ramifications. Layoffs, the cancellation or pausing of programs, bigger class sizes. So all of those things are on the table right now. But I also want to note another piece of news yesterday. State Superintendent Chris Rakedahl didn't rule out that the legislature could come through and help districts like Seattle out. His proposed budget includes more funding for schools in the next couple of years. But all of that is up in the air. We don't know whether that will happen. And even if it does, will it come fast enough to help Seattle? We don't know.
Yeah. And meantime, the district here, Seattle, has to make plans. They can't necessarily count on that state funding. It seems like a really tough bind that they're in. Anything else you want people to know about this?
I think right now it's just kind of a wait and see moment. We'll see what we hear from the superintendent. You know, he was really clear that these financial challenges are real, but it's a huge question mark of what are they going to do now?
Yeah. Sammy West is a reporter covering schools in Seattle and across the Puget Sound region. Sammy, this has been a roller coaster, to say the least, for Seattle Public Schools parents. And it will continue, I think, to be a tough road here as we wait to see what the plan is. I really appreciate your coverage.
Thanks for having me.
The Seattle School Board has solidified a leaner plan to close up to five schools, but as Sammy West reports, fewer closures come with some trade-offs.
Superintendent Brent Jones says the district will have to make more hard choices to fill the district's $100 million shortfall. The district needs to find about $30 million in, quote, internal efficiencies. That means layoffs, running fewer buses, and changing the start time at some schools, which has been controversial in the past. Jones says the district will also bank on help from the state.
There is no one solution to solving our fiscal challenges. This will require our community's ongoing partnership and support. It is clear we will need our families to join us in Olympia to advocate for funding and supporting our schools at this critical juncture.
The district wants $40 million more dollars to fund special education, transportation, and materials. The district will also ask the state for more flexibility on repaying the money they borrowed from their capital building fund to close last year's shortfall. Sammy West, KUOW News.
The district is expected to share some of the names of schools to close by October 21st.
Seattle Public Schools families now know the four elementary schools that may close next year. Sammy West has the story.
Superintendent Brent Jones is recommending these elementary schools for closure: North Beach, Sacagawea, Stanislaus, and Stevens. Under the plan, which is not final, students at each of those schools would stay together and consolidate into other nearby schools. North Beach students would go to Viewlands Elementary, Sacagawea students to John Rogers Elementary, Stanislaus to Highland Park Elementary, and Stevens to Montlake Elementary. This comes as the district faces a shortfall of nearly $100 million. Jones says the district used factors like building condition and space to decide which schools to shutter. They also prioritized minimizing disruption. The district will provide more information during weekly engagement sessions at affected schools. They'll start next week. Sammy West, KUOW News.
Seattle school officials are trying to ease concerns about closing four schools. They made their case for closures at one of the schools last night. As Sammy West reports, it's a tough sell.
Dozens of parents gathered at Stanislaus Elementary in West Seattle on Tuesday, and emotions were high as they pressed district officials for answers on why they want to close their school and how they'll ease the transition for kids. Rochelle Carrillo is the mom of two Stanislaus students.
How do we know that our kids aren't going to bear the brunt of fixing the budget that, I'm sorry to say, that you guys created, not our kids created? Ooh, yes.
Afterwards, Carrillo said she appreciated the meeting and got more details on the changes ahead, but it didn't change anything.
It was a little helpful, but I don't feel any better leaving.
The district plans to hold two meetings at each of the schools slated for closure. The school board is expected to vote on a final closure plan in January. Sammy West, KUOW News.
One of the biggest dramas for parents and teachers in Seattle this year may end up fizzling out. The Seattle school superintendent unexpectedly announced he might withdraw plans to close four schools. But school board members aren't ruling out closures down the road. Sammy West has the latest.
After hearing from dozens of emotional parents at Tuesday's school board meeting, several board members said they can't see themselves supporting the current closure plan. But even if this plan doesn't work out, two board members said they still think closures are needed to help save money, including Vice President Michelle Sarju.
Do we need to close schools? The answer to that is yes, we do. But we need to do it in a way that is going to benefit all of our kids, not just some of them.
Superintendent Brent Jones said Tuesday he needs time to decide whether he'll bring the proposal back to the board, develop a new one, or abandon closures entirely. It remains unclear how soon he'll make a decision. Sammy West, KUOW News.
The parents and kids in your life might feel a little lighter today. No public schools in Seattle will close next year. SPS just took its closure proposal off the table. Sammy West has more.
Superintendent Brent Jones has withdrawn his recommendations to shutter North Beach, Sacagawea, Stanislaus, and Stevens elementary schools next year. In a message to families Monday, he said the plan no longer has a clear path forward. It puts an end to a year-long roller coaster filled with controversy and many twists and turns since the district began discussing closures. It was part of an effort to stabilize the district's finances as it faces a nearly $100 million deficit next year. Jones' first proposal was to close up to 21 schools, a list he later shrunk to 4 amid backlash. And still, several board members said last week they couldn't see themselves supporting the plan. The board will vote tonight to formally take closures off the table for next year and cancel next month's public hearings. Sammy West, KUOW News.